Hi guys, it's Kat Kabira and Happy New Year and greetings from Portugal. So I just had a recent experience that motivated me to share this video today. And it's geared towards those of you who are potentially have patterns of perfectionism, are highly self-critical, and maybe you even have a history of some sort of abuse. And the theme is how to receive feedback without going into shame. So, you know, as humans, we're going to be messy at times. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to inadvertently like step on one another's toes. I know as I'm like in a new country and used to a very different way of living, it's like, I'm actually like, people are going to have to give me feedback of like, hey, we actually don't do it that way. Like, this is how we do it. And, you know, if someone has a high level of self-esteem, a really strong sense of self-worth or a sense of self, then the feedback can be taken exactly as it is. Like, oh, okay. Thanks for telling me, you know, I'll be more mindful. And it will be like a more neutral response. Someone being like, hey, you know, like you're wearing red, but like we're supposed to wear blue. And it's like, oh, okay, cool. Like I'll do that without some sort of like emotional charge or big reaction. But if there's a history of abuse, you know, and when I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking more physical or emotional. And also just even if somehow you've inherited it yourself or, you know, conditioned it or like it was given by your parents where there was a lot of perfectionism and criticism, then when feedback's given, instead of it being more like, you know, taking it as it is and having that response on the inside that actually matches the energy of the incident or the feedback, it ends up being like a much bigger thing. I know for myself, you know, probably 20 years ago, a good friend of mine, like actually had to admit, he's like, you know, like it's hard for me to give you feedback because your entire world just falls apart, you know? And I was a little embarrassed to hear that, but I remember thinking, well, why is that? And so there's like that protection that we'll have almost of like, I must be perfect. I should be perfect. And if anyone points out that I'm not, like my entire universe falls apart, you know, and I'll speak for me personally, you know, I did grow up with abuse. So to me, if there's always been this like over efforting of making sure everything is okay, making sure my actions are okay in regards to others, you know, that like I'm behaving the right way, I'm appearing the right way, I'm not making anyone upset, you know, because it's like, if someone's upset, that means I'm going to get hurt. And I'm doing anything to prevent that, you know, and that's the wound. And there also can be wounds, like we all have different core wounds. There can also be wounds of like, I'm just a really bad person and I'm fucking up all the time. Or it can be like, it's all my fault. You know, and if you hear my languaging, it's very childish. Like our wounds are created when we're children, when our language is just beginning. So that's going to be dramatic and intense. Like it's all my fault. I'm so bad. You know, nobody loves me. But, you know, and as we could kind of smirk at it, you know, like, oh, childish languaging, like our body believes it to be real. And the pain that we have as humans is that we'll be 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years old wandering around the planet still with this child belief of like, you know, it's all my fault. I'm so bad. Like I deserve to be punished or, you know, whatever they are. There are so many and, you know, you get to reflect on what yours are. So, you know, for me, I had to actually, in order to function in the world, because it's not helpful for myself or others to, for people to be scared to give me feedback, right? Like that's not healthy. You know, that creates no growth whatsoever. That creates no authenticity. So, you know, what I had to do was to be able to practice, like when someone's giving me feedback, knowing like I've got a part of me that feels real, but it's not real. that thinks I'm so bad and like a terrible punishment's going to happen if you tell me anything that's like a little bit, you know, of a criticism or observation even, so that I can witness that part of me, but not engage, not indulge it, not believe in it. And you know, this is like a longer practice that I've shared elsewhere. And if you work with me privately and in groups, like you'll get this of like, how do you actually start to create some space with your wounds so they don't control you? So that way it's like, you can witness like, okay, like this is coming in. I am not some horrible human being, you know, and you can even start to witness maybe another part of you that goes into shame. And I don't know how much you're aware of your shame, you know, like shame is a way that we control others and how we get controlled and how we may not even allow ourselves to go certain places because we're so scared of that shame, you know, and shame is a very primal thing because, you know, way back when, you know, if we were ostracized from our community, you know, that level of shame is protection to make sure that you're actually not kicked out of your community, out of your village where like, you know, basically you lose like your source of food and warmth and protection because it's wild out there outside of the village. So, you know, shame is a very primal thing and it does have its positive function. But for a lot of us in modern times, it also prevents us from really being ourselves. And we might micromanage ourselves just to not touch that shame. And I don't know how you experience shame, but for me, shame feels like death. I literally feel like I'm dying. And it's something that like I had to learn to tolerate the sensations of like, oh my God, like I just want to disappear. I'm so bad. Like it's like the worst feelings on the planet. And you know, it's something where if you can love yourself through like observing that part of you who's feeling ashamed, you know, that's going to really start to strengthen you in a new way. And what's also helpful, because we do need others, and when I've worked with therapists, they've done this for me, where they've actually sat with me while I'm experiencing massive shame and just thinking like, I don't even deserve to be here on this planet. And they're like, hey, like I'm, you know, I can be, I'm with you, you know, and I'm not rejecting you. I'm not abandoning. I may not be happy with your behavior, but that doesn't mean that like, you have to be punished as a result or kicked out. So for those of us where if we've had abuse, you know, and I'll say like having controlling parents, having highly critical perfectionists, that is like a subtle level. We could say a subtle level of abuse. You know, and there's a lot of ways that we could stretch this, but for the sake of the brevity of the video, and then again, you know, speaking from personal experience where if you've been abused, I think the hardest thing for me, and I'm speaking to those of you who've had this experience, is you may have done a lot of work on yourself and there still might be that little child in you who like it, where it comes up for him or her from time to time, where it's like, you know, you're still scared of that happening again. And your behavior might regress a little bit just to create some sort of like immediate safety. So being able to witness ourselves and to even kind of create like a reality check of, is my response right now matching what I'm sensing on the outside? You know, like if someone's giving me this feedback and their behavior, you know, am I having like a matching response or is mine much more big and dramatic? And that way you can kind of hold yourself through it where it's like, okay, like it's uncomfortable, but it's going to pass. I'm not this horrible human, you know, I'm allowed to make mistakes. And whether you've got that perfectionist or highly critical pattern, or just, you know, that history of abuse, knowing that you're allowed to make mistakes is such an important practice. So important. And I know when I first started investigating all of this, that's why I shifted my piano playing to more like jazz improv. Because I felt like there was a way that you could play with the mistakes. And I became more abstract in my art. I changed the way that I wrote, you know, even the movement practices. I prefer to go to places that are much more curious and playful because it will start to cultivate that attitude that's so important. And that's the growth attitude right there. You know, being curious, being playful. Yes, we're going to make mistakes. and we can repair things. I mean, I got to admit, like this week, there's been a few things where I've had to call someone up and be like, you know, I fucked up. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. You know, and it's like, we can repair things, you know, like it is kindergarten lessons of just being able to say like, I'm so sorry and really meaning it. And what actions can I do to rectify this? So I'm just saying this because it's not fun to be a perfectionist. That's like a buzzkill, right? And you don't want to like live with this highly critical part of you, like controlling you or the perfectionism or, you know, like we got to bring tenderness if we've had things happen when we're young. And yeah, it's just a reminder that you can witness the pain moving through your body and you don't have to believe it to be real. You can just let it be a wave that moves through. So happy new year. I hope that you're staying cozy wherever you are. And I hope to see you somewhere either virtually or in person soon.